Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Jersey Boys Podcast here on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network, powered by SB Nation. Your host here, Dave Sturcio, alongside America's fan, Keith Ernst, and of course, nationally known comedian, Brett Ernst. Fellas, how we doing? How we feeling? We're towards the end of the week. We're getting closer to Chargers week. How we feeling so far? I mean, I know there's a lot of doom and gloom going around the Cowboys, but I'm hoping we can kind of just pick ourselves up off of this. I don't know, somehow.
It's, you know, I'm a little nervous now.
This is awful, man. It is. It's, you know, I said this tongue in cheek when it happened. I said, we can't catch a break. And unfortunately, the break that we caught was DeMarcus Lawrence's foot. DeMarcus Lawrence is now out 6 to 8 weeks, which is a heck of a length of amount of time. And, you know, it's a big loss, and there's no way to sugarcoat it or anything like that. We were already down Randy Gregory with the COVID stuff. That seems to be, you know, they didn't rule him out yet. But as we record this, it is Thursday night. The Washington football team is actually playing the New York Giants as we record this. No ruling out yet, but all signs are pointing to the fact that we are not going to have our two starting defensive ends. Keith, how do you feel?
So Randy Gregory was, he's already, they said that he has COVID.
Well, he tested positive back when it was announced. I don't know. Did you miss that part?
I mean, No. I thought he was around someone.
Well, no. What happens is the rule is in the NFL, if you test positive and you're vaccinated, then all you have to do is present two negative tests in a 24-hour span, and then you can just get cleared and you're right back with the game, and you have to be asymptomatic. That's the case. He's asymptomatic. We don't know about, you know, as far as the negative tests are concerned, I'm not sure how much more time there is, really. So it's as we preview this one, we're almost going to say and kind of guarantee that he's not going to play. If he plays and he's cleared, wonderful. But I think this bodes very, very bad for a Dallas Cowboys team that couldn't get to the quarterback at all. Tom Brady kind of sat back and did his thing, you know, or a quicker release, of course, more than Justin Herbert. But Brett, losing both defensive ends going into a game like this, where we already lacked in the pressure department, how does that make you feel? I guess really.
How do you think it makes me feel, Stitch?
All right.
I mean, look, once again, they didn't get there. I mean, the same crew did not get to Brady. I mean,
right?
What are you saying? I mean, what are we missing?
A lot of that has to do with Brady's ability to read and as that quick release. I mean, it's not like, look.
All right, fine. But I'm just saying, it is what it is. Quick release, whatever you may say. We did not get to the quarterback. Dorrance Armstrong's the only one to get to the quarterback. Now, I also texted with you guys about DeMarcus Lawrence, and I know you guys probably thought I was being an idiot, but – I really think that when you're not practicing and when you're not playing and you put so much on your body like he did, I don't think that's good for anyone.
So you're suggesting that this injury was basically caused by the fact that there's just no preseason, you know.
I'm not saying that's just it, but it might have something to do with it, man.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you're not wrong.
That happens a lot when people sit out camp or they, you know, and look, we put him on the IR in the beginning when it was like no one even knew he was going on IR. And it's one of those things, too, where it's like, you know, you just don't want your players to get hurt, you know, so you keep them out. Just, you know, get them ready to play, man. Get them ready to play.
I think the worst part about this is the fact that he broke his foot in practice. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's a game situation, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. You know, as I said, we're recording right now, and the Giants lost an offensive lineman, you know, probably for the season. You know what I mean? So, like, if it's in a game situation, there's nothing you can do. You can't control that.
No, what I'm saying, though, is it's not even that. It could be him recovering from that game.
Correct.
You understand what I'm saying? It could be one of those things where, man, he just went, he hasn't played that much in a while. Now he's got to practice. Like, you know, you're throwing everything at these players right away.
But he was practicing. I mean, he was in practice, wasn't he?
Yeah, but he wasn't hitting anyone. I mean, I don't even think he was in the scrimmage. Was he in the scrimmage against the Rams?
D-Law? No.
That's what he didn't do. I mean, that was his first play was against Tampa.
Yeah. It's unfortunate, obviously, but like from the game perspective now heading into the next, 6 to 8 weeks, when you think about it, Randy Gregory will be back at the very least next week, which obviously I was a very big, Randy Gregory, like rah-rah guy throughout the whole entire preseason. I said, we're going to get him for a full season. This is going to be great. And then we lose him for a game already within the first 2 weeks, which is nuts. It's insane how this team, what happens to this team. But I ask you guys this, who are you looking for? There's a lot of guys. I know I sent you a picture, a screen cap of Patrick Walker from CBS Sports. He thinks this all eyes on Dorrance Armstrong. Now there's guys out there on the team
I was going to say you have Dorrance Armstrong, which, and then don't forget either, man, this is one of the benefits of having a Micah Parsons, right?
Correct.
So you could put him on the edge as well. And, you know, we got Golston, Chauncey Golston.
Yeah. I mean, look, at Terrell Basham.
Basham. You got, I don't know, man. I mean, now also, too, I was reading something interesting that there are some free agents out there that people were saying that Dallas could possibly.
You know where I would have went? You know what I would have went with? I mean, yeah, there's like Olivier Vernon. Like there's guys out there that you can pick up. But I know this is going to sound ridiculous, but if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, I'm going over to the Arizona Cardinals and just picking off Rondell Carter off their practice squad. We had him already.
Rondell Carter is one of the guys that was on that list that they were, you know, that could be a free agency option.
I mean, he's not free agent. He's on the Cardinals practice squad, so you could just pick him off. But the way you pick him off is you have to add him to your 53. So, and I think that could be a play, or that could have been a play. But right now, it's a very, you know, next I man. Know
he, was, he texted me. He would love to see Taco Charlton come back.
So you guys are forgetting Bradley and I, who they kind of chose over Rondell. So
yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, there's been some serious momentum behind, you know, that train. A lot of people are on the Bradley and I train, and I'm one of them. You know, I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to show that he's got some speed off the edge. Now, remember, another one that we're completely forgetting about is Kamara. Yeah. So there's your feel-good story of him, and now all of a sudden he might get some playing time. You know, 6 to 8 weeks is a long time.
Look, it could be something. No, what were you going to say, bro? I want to see if we're going to say the same thing on. I'll tell you if I was. Go ahead.
I already made my point. Go ahead.
I was going to say that this could be a good thing, because we always talk about young and hungry players. And all these players, I mean, Armstrong's in a contract year. These players are young and hungry and want to prove themselves. It's just like that running back that's put in that nobody ever hears of. And, you know, because he's a backup, a Terrence, Tashard Choice, for example. You know, he was the third string that 1 year behind Felix and Marion Barber. And he comes in and almost beats the Pittsburgh Steelers by running crazy. I mean, it's one of those things where these players want to show out, man. They're going to be super excited.
I want to get on that page. I do. I know that it's hard for people to like. There was a couple tweets that surfaced that I saw that's like, oh, okay, we just lost 3 sacks for the year. You know, like tongue in cheek, like, oh, we didn't lose that big a deal with DeMarcus Lawrence out. DeMarcus Lawrence is a game changer. He's the first one to punch that ball out the other day against, you know, last week against Tampa Bay. He's the one doing the peanut Tillman where he's just bang, he just pops it out and he hustles every play. And he the stats may not show it as far as like quarterback sacks, but the hurries and the pressures and the and the respect, the respect you have to give him to that side, doubling him up.
That this was what I was going to say. I think between Dorrance Armstrong, Parsons, Bradley, and I think we'll be okay. Losing Collins, Wilson, and Gallup is where, you know, we got to talk about that as well. I mean, we just lost four starters of those 22 that we
No. He was just I know where he was going. He was talking about Wilson replacing Gallup. So, yeah. So, look.
We lost our safety, not Wilson. What's his name?
Oh, Donovan Wilson with a groin injury. Re-aggravated a groin. Again, one of those things that even if we were to record on Sunday morning, we probably wouldn't know the status of a Donovan Wilson.
Yeah, I'm saying we've got four starters right now that as of today are not playing against.
I mean, it's Gallup, it's Lawrence, it's Gregory, it's
Collins.
And it's Lyle Collins. Now, the Lyle Collins thing, as we switch over to the offense before we get into like the Chargers itself, the Lyle Collins thing kind of makes me kind of mad. I understand. I've talked to some of my really good, upstanding citizen friends, and they said to me that a missed test is just as bad as a failed test. And what that means is you're probably like omitting to your own guilt, or like you're not going to show up because you're going to pop. I don't know the situation. I'm not in the locker room, nor am I in the health office with Lyle Collins, but I think it's kind of garbage as far as the length of suspension. I think I for sure think it's going to get reduced. I don't foresee it holding up with everybody in the Players Association. I can't see missing tests to cause five games. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy to me, but we do know as Cowboy fans and people in the media that Mike McCarthy, well, at least Jerry Jones was the first one to say it was going to be Terrence Steele. Everybody seems to believe it's going to be Terrence Steele. Now, when you're dealing with a Bosa, you know, that's a scary situation to be in. Do you guys think that, you know, there was a lot of stuff going around about Zach Martin not kind of, quote, playing ball here? He told the media that he's a right guard, and the only reason why they kicked him out to right tackle last year was because they lost 15 tackles. You know what I'm saying? That was like their last resort. Do you guys feel like we'd be better if Zach Martin kicked out and played right tackle, or do you think he should stay put and play his position?
No. It's why you have backups. I mean, Jesus, why even have a squad? I mean, you have the pick of the best of every level of football to play. You know what I mean? Then don't have a tackle that. You know what I'm saying? If we can't find somebody that can at least sustain that for a while till this is cleared up, you know, then what's the purpose of even having a second team?
And this tackle, once again, this tackle started, I think, 13 games that we have playing
a lot of experience and mileage on Terrence Steele. Considering last year.
And look, man, if Zach Martin, he's probably blaming on that and on him getting injured, right? Playing tackle because he wasn't.
I mean, that's not used to it. He didn't directly say that, but a lot of people are like, okay, we get it.
So we have, but we do have the middle of our offensive line, okay? And San Diego, the one thing. The one thing that Los Angeles had a problem with was Washington's running attack. Okay.
Correct.
Now is the time. I don't want to hear they're stacking it and all this crap. This is the highest paid running back in the NFL. All right. Now it's time to use that highest paid running back.
We should
have more rushes than we do passes this game.
Washington rushed for 126 yards as a team last week. They did not really relatively throw the ball well because they had Fitzpatrick get hurt. And then Heineke came in, only threw for about 133 through the air. So not there a lot of yards as a whole for Washington football.
Too, Sturge, think about that. You're a defensive coordinator. Now you're like, oh, they don't have their starting quarterback. Let's just stack the line. We're not scared of Heineken. Right? We're not scared of that guy. And they still rush. So I don't want to hear the excuse like, you know, that, oh, that look at the, you know, which we all got it.
But we also got to, you know, you also got to gear for what they give you as well. Yeah, no, I agree with my brother. I mean, right now we have that weapon. We have Zeke. We have.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know what?
If you're more worried about Bosa off the edge with a Steele that played all last year, if that's more of a concern for you, than having our Zach Martin, you know, where he belongs. Open those holes and let Zeke bust through it, man. Or run away from Bosa then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or double team Bosa. There's ways around this. This isn't really the – look, again, why even have a tackle?
Correct. I think that this –
if you can't even have faith in that, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think the game plan will call for different things. I will point out that last week, and I talked to you guys about this earlier this week, is that you know, there was 28 run calls, right? And Dak Prescott at the line, and Dak at the line made some adjustments, and that's showing true leadership and showing that he can read a defense because he carved up a really good Tampa Bay secondary. I will say this though, Ezekiel Elliott this week in the media very humble or very I'll do the best I can at whatever they ask me to do, meaning like he was actually appreciative from Dak Prescott and a lot of the guys on the offense that this kid has actually learned and, you know, has gotten better at picking up a block. You know what I mean? And he is laying people out. The kid can hit. So I think this week is actually one of those smoke and mirrors things right now where they're focusing on his run block, his pass blocking. And this might be the game where we get him going.
When we drafted him, that's what I was very happy about. We picked up an extra offensive lineman. The kid was really considered one of the best blockers in college. He was the best blocking running back in college. And even coming in considered as one of the best in the NFL. I mean, again, I wouldn't panic with, I mean, look, it's a big loss to lose D-Law, but hey, man, I think the kid Dorrance Armstrong, I think we'll be okay, man. I think we'll be okay.
So I want to speak on the Zeke thing. The thing with that is with Dak audibling out with the 12, I guess there were 12 run plays that Kellen Moore called, which he was
called 28. He audible out of 12.
Yeah, exactly. So I meant the only thing I have a problem with is clock management with that. And we talked about this before where, you know, they had the ball first and 10 on Tampa's 20 with 2 minutes left. And that could have been one of the running plays. And he audibled out and, you know, rolled out and lost 12 yards. And then everything spiraled from there. So and here's the thing. I'm not going to come down on Dak, all right, because our offense was scoring and they were moving the ball. So you're right. I shouldn't be bringing up, we should have ran Zeke more, all that stuff. And I won't, because they were moving the ball. Now, if we weren't moving the ball, then you could start being like, or not scoring, then we could start getting into it. But I'm just hoping that this week it's more balanced.
Yeah, they have, the Chargers getting into the passing game of things. The Chargers have a couple guys that are banged up. Obviously, Derwin James is their all pro over there, and he's still kind of just getting his feet wet off of an injury. They do have some guys that are banged up in that secondary. Now, the loss of Michael Gallup for, 3 to 5 or 5 to 6, or whatever they're actually calling for now at this point. Do you guys feel like it's a insert Cedric Wilson here, no problem? Or do you think that this is going to serve as one of those things where like, oh boy, we got to figure something else out because Dak only now has two guys?
You do understand though, Sturch, there's a difference between being in panic mode and something being not as great as it could be.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
All right, we still have CD. We still have Cooper. With Gallup, we had, in my opinion, the best receiving core on paper in the NFL. Now we just have a really great receiving core because you still got Cooper and CD. It's the same thing with D-Law.
Yeah.
It was last year, and we didn't record a sack on. And again, I originally made the comments, you know, the release and the reads of Brady, but like my brother said, there was no sacks. So, what are we 28th ranked defense right now?
Yeah. No, 23rd.
Hey now. 23rd. Like I said, give me middle of the pack, baby, and we're Super Bowl bound. That's what I've been saying the whole time.
But there's no reason to be in panic mode. We still have no Michael Irvin, Noah. We still have
we do have the playmaker Noah Brown.
Noah Brown.
True story. You know what's funny? Like, you know what the best part about
panic mode for receivers.
I the shout out to our listeners, because there are people that hit me up on Twitter and they call Noah Brown the playmaker because of you guys. I think it's like hilarious and like that's caught on.
You made fun of me. You came down on me when I talked about that. I told you Noah Brown looked like he would be very physical. He was supposed to be, and he's turning out to be that playmaker, which I predicted.
You know what's funny? You know what we should do next? After getting Noah Brown involved, we should probably look into getting Luther Kirk back to play safety.
Yes.
Hey, yeah, dog.
Hey, you know what, Sturge? One thing about D-Law, too, when you were saying how good he is, let's not forget that you and I, we gave him the Dallas Cowboys MVP at the end of last season.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's not all about the sacks and the glitz and the glamour of having a good stat line for the day. He demands attention. You know what I mean? Like Dorrance Armstrong, as well as I hope he plays, he's not going to demand the attention that D-Law would have. You know what I mean? Then, so that's a big factor.
We gave D-Law the MVP, but that was like the shining light in a dark room almost. But it wasn't like it was an exceptional. Like, man, he took over the league. It was a bright spot. Okay.
Yeah, but again, a bright spot in a very bad year. Yeah.
I mean, we're still, I wouldn't be in panic mode right now, and especially against the Chargers. And we're very fortunate that we have the schedule we have, which I still don't want to sleep on, though, because you never know who could come, you know, become that team that, you know, nobody expected to be. I think it might be us this year, to be honest with you. But
I don't understand what the NFL was thinking, or not NFL, or the Los Angeles Chargers, by making their first audience live game against us. Like, we're going to take over that stadium, man.
I was going to say, I mean, LA's got a heck of a Cowboys following out there.
I mean, if they did it with the Rams like they did last year, or last season, there was no fans, and that would have been kind of equal. But the Chargers don't have the fans the Rams have.
I don't think half of those guys left San Diego. what I'm saying? Like, nobody's traveling to LA as a Charger fan. Like, oh, I'm diehard. You know, like it's one thing for Oakland to move to Vegas. Like, everybody's intrigued by Vegas, but like you moved like upstate. You know what I mean? Like, it's not downstate. I don't even know California.
I was on a radio listener party for the Raiders game that Monday, and it was insane here. There could not have been a better fit for a franchise team than to bring the Raiders to Vegas, because it's still close to L.A. It's the same flight from L.A., right, to Vegas, from Oakland to Vegas.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
And the logic behind it, which made sense, is people from Oakland were flying to LA anyways to watch the Raider games.
And now there's more incentive.
Actually, it's cheaper to fly from Oakland to Vegas than it is, you know.
Well,
there was no shortage of true Raider fans. My boy Carlos, his brother, his uncles, they all are there. They're all back.
I will say this. The flight might be cheaper, but the cost of being out there, you might lose double that in Vegas.
No, I'm sorry, man. It's more expensive to get a hotel room
in Los
Angeles to watch the Raiders when they were playing there than it is in Oakland. Vegas. Flying to Oakland, of course. Yeah, but for LA Oakland to go hotels. To Oakland is
all right. So moving on, we're, you know, the flights aside, LA is now the target that we have in front of us. The Chargers come in; they're 1-0. They're flying high. They beat the Washington football team last week. relatively convincingly in a way. Not like they didn't dominate anybody, but they got the win. I will say this. Justin Herbert is, you know, he's not Tom Brady. You know, I will say that, you know what I mean? I'm not about to anoint him the next Tom Brady, but the kid is good and he's got a rifle. And now, unfortunately, he's going to have a lot of time to divvy it up between, you know, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and our old friend, Jared Cook, you know what I mean? And have Austin Eckler out the backfield. So they do pose problems for this Dallas Cowboys defense. Do you guys, how are you looking at this game as far as like in a comparison standpoint where we played Tampa Bay, they're the world champs. They're the best offense in football. Do you think this is like a, okay, everybody kind of like relax a little bit?
And defense too. Tampa's defense.
Correct. I'm starting on the offensive side of the ball.
I would say on offense, and this is like I did think the Cowboys were going to lose to the Chargers in week two when we did our preseason games, but not preseason, but preseason speculation. Here's my thing, okay? The one thing I don't think Justin Herbert can do yet are the same audibles that Tom Brady's doing. We sent the house on Brady, and we didn't get to him because of his quick release or the one touchdown to Gronk that went. Mm-hmm. You know, and those kind of things. I mean, Dan Quinn likes to do that. So he's going to test out Herbert. He's going to test him out. And like you said, I mean, he's not Brady yet. He might be one day. But I think that – no, I don't compare him. I think that it's about getting to the quarterback, and I think we have a better chance this week, even without D-Law and Gregory, getting to the quarterback. Because Brady's not behind the center. That Brett. Makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with my brother, man. And again, you know, I had us at 0-2 starting the season. I really think that, you know, again, I don't want to get too excited, but Dallas showed a lot. And you know what else they showed a lot of too? They weren't complacent. I can't explain it. That was a different team. When Dak went up to Tom and said, I'll see you again, right? Mm-hmm. That's assuming Tampa makes it to the playoffs, but it's that type of intensity. Dallas lost that game. Okay. I don't know if Tampa won it so much as if, you know, we lost that game. We could make those kinds of mistakes against San Diego.
Correct.
And still win. Right.
Yeah.
Which is a team that is still evolving. But, you know, what, Keith, what do you want to say?
No, go ahead, bro. Go.
No, so my point is that we can make those couple of those errors and you know, it's not like and I think Dallas is going to put some points up too. So, you know, I think we went toe to toe with the biggest bully in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
You know, and we made him bleed.
Yeah. So you know, I was going to say the whole what Dak told Tom Brady is reminiscent of Tony Romo telling Tom Brady. Romo did it too.
I don't think anybody's brought that up, as a matter of fact, which is funny because as soon as he did it, I was like, oh, here we go again. But no, in Dak's defense, I think that Dak is playing with some kind of Mamba mentality. I really do. He looks like a gamer.
I was about to say too, that's more Dak's personality.
Yeah.
Like what you see. Romo was just saying, I don't know why.
Tongue in cheek.
Romo talks crap, bro.
Romo went up to him. He's like, I'll call your game in February.
Yeah. Did you ever see when he came out when he talked about the footballs?
What?
When he made fun of the Patriots, when he was announcing like some kind of I don't know, he was doing some award show, Romo. And then he came out and he's like, yeah. He's like, our team, we don't have to deflate footballs to win football games. And everybody went nuts.
I don't remember said that at all.
That was the season before he broke his back against Seattle in preseason and Dak took over.
Karma. Anyway. So, all right. So let's get into it. I mean, we got the Chargers on Sunday or today or however you're listening, whenever.
Oh, we're getting into it, Sturch.
I know, but I'm saying let's get into the game picks. Let's actually pick this football game. So the Cowboys come in 0-1, obviously with the moral victories all over the place, you know, last Thursday. And I agree, the Cowboys played very well. They played with a swag. They definitely have a different team. I think the injury bug that hit them, whether it be actual injuries, suspensions, COVID, like there's so many things working against the Dallas Cowboys this week. It'll be very hard pressed. I find it hard pressed to think they're going to get the job done. I would love to be surprised. In my preseason picks, I thought that the Cowboys would go and beat Tampa Bay and then ride their high horse into LA and then hit a roadblock in the form of the Chargers. Now, with the way they showed up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I think this team is built to win games in that fashion that they almost did as far as going punch for punch. There's never a drive that Dak Prescott goes on the field where I don't think they can score. I mean, I don't think I've felt that way in a long time, where like every time this kid gets on the field, you're like, all right, it's him, it's Zeke, it's Coop, it's Gallup, you know, it's CeeDee before the injuries. You know, their tight ends are good. Like, their offense is going to move the ball. It's just a matter of how many times they can stop this Justin Herbert-led offense. Because of the fact that Justin Herbert, you know, really did ball out in certain aspects of the game against the Washington football team, I do think they're going to put up the points. But I'm going to stick with my guns here, and I'm going to ride the Cowboys this week. I think the Cowboys get it done in L.A. in a shootout. And it's, you know, I don't think the Cowboys are built this year to have any laughing wins. You know, like we sometimes, like, I think we beat the brakes off the Rams or something like that last year or 2 years ago, where we won by like a lot. Yeah. And we just kicked the crap out of them. I don't know if this team, considering the fact that the defense will be letting up some points and maybe the pressure won't be there, but I got to go with them. I don't think you cannot go into that first home game on Monday Night Football against the Philadelphia Eagles with all the pageantry that we're about to do and go into that game 0-2 and all of a sudden need a game in September. So the game won't be needed as much if they get a win right here. Yes, you're going to want to beat Philly, obviously, but we'll talk about that next week. But give me the Cowboys this week. I'm riding with them. Keith, what do you think, man?
Okay, so this is the thing with the Chargers, okay? We have not beat them since, I believe, 2005, and that's when Drew Brees was their quarterback.
Yeah, so that's even pre-Phil Rivers.
Yeah, so he was there. He was just sitting on the bench, I believe, waiting to get in. But I think so. But anyways, regardless, that's the last time we beat them. All right, so you got Philip Rivers coming in, owning Romo, and he owned Dak Prescott when the Chargers ruined all of our Thanksgivings.
I was just going to say, he ruined a lot of holidays, I feel like.
Yeah, they destroyed us that game, destroyed us. Now, this is how I look at this game, okay? As I was just talking about the defense, saying that, it's going to be different from Tom Brady and Justin Herbert back there. We can get to the quarterback, but I still don't have faith in our defense. I don't. After what happened last week, and you know, all the yards that Tampa put up and scored, you know, they went into field goal range with a minute 20 seconds left. I know it's Tom Brady and the Bucs, but regardless, I still didn't see it. I still did not see this defense. So until I see this defense perform up to an average to an above average level, I don't know if I can take them when they're going against a good offense.
It's going to be a tall order this week.
So and not only that, I'm going to be at the game, and they like to ruin my Sundays or ruin my time when I go see them. So I'm like the opposite when people are like, oh, I'm bringing the positive vibes. Dude, I mean, I've been to some terrible losses for the Cowboys, including the Arizona game where Jason Garrett iced his own kicker.
If you guys you were remember at that game, huh?
I was there.
Oh my God. I was at the Jason Pierre-Paul block field goal game right behind that field goal too. I was like, that's a long flight home. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's all right. It's all right. So that being said, you know, I don't know if our offense will be able to keep up like they did last week. I think it could be close, but I just don't see us winning this. I don't know why, man. I just don't. And not only that, something we haven't touched on, our freaking special teams is horrible right now.
Yeah.
And no one likes to talk about it. I mean, our kick coverage was horrible. Our punt coverage was horrible. I mean, we were making penalties on kickoffs and punts, and you know, we're missing field goals. I mean, all that plays a factor, man. I got to see more to beat a good team like this.
I think there's a lot of stuff going around the media this week that, you know, special teams is definitely one of those things they have to improve on immediately, or Bones Fossil could find himself on the chopping block. See honestly,
maybe Clement will be returning kicks.
I'm not even worried about the kick return game, man. Just get like, just pin somebody deep.
It's everything.
Use the field position game. You got anger kicking the crap out of the ball. You know what I mean? So they got to pin guys deep.
Serge, what is the best part of our special teams right now? Our punter, that's probably it, right?
I mean, he's got a leg, but other than that, it doesn't matter because when they catch it, right. Right.
There's nothing positive about our special teams right now, really.
Yeah. It's Zerline's got to make kicks. I mean, that's just it's just the way it is. So, Brett, what do you got? So, according to me, they're going to be 1-1 going into Monday night against the Eagles. According to Keith, it's going to be a little bit more alarming. They're going to be 0-2. Where do you got the Cowboys after this week?
I originally had them at 0-2. I really liked the way they played. I saw a lot of our defense, you know. Especially the aggression flying around the ball. They're young, they're fast. Again, I think this is good. San Diego is a good enough team to where, you know, it's going to be a brawl, but they're not as good as Tampa where we make up for those mistakes. Cause yeah, man, we were one or two plays away from a victory here. I'm going to love to see what he does now with Parsons and Neal and, you know, the way the linebackers can fly. Our secondary, I think we'll be okay, man. I think Dallas ends up winning this one. And I'm taking it back because I how highly I think of San Diego. I think we're both potentially up, you know, doing well, potentially. I just think we're a little further along than them.
Yeah.
That's offensively, at least.
And if we
run the ball, if we establish that run with the highest paid running back in the NFL, I think that, you know, we could put some points up, man. I think we're going to outshoot them.
When's the last time we blew out a good team on the road?
On the road?
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm. That's a question for you.
I would say it was Zeke and Dak's rookie year, possibly.
I mean, there was no blowout. There was no blowout. Like I'm thinking
last year we beat the Bengals away, and that wasn't really there. But they're not that good.
Did we beat Detroit really well that year? I didn't say
we're going to blow them out, man. Nobody said that.
I'm just wondering.
No, he's just curious. Yeah, he's just curious to know if that's even happened.
But I know that's not what we do.
No, it's not what we do.
To end up winning this game by like 10 points.
Oh, wow. All right, cool. I'm totally with that. So the Dallas Cowboys obviously are dealing with a lot of stuff right now, but two of the three Jersey boys here on the Jersey Boys podcast are taking the Dallas Cowboys to win. So with that being said, it's almost time to go get ready for kickoff. And you know, the next time you hear from us, we'll be previewing a game that, you know, we got Keith going this week to San Diego. We got Keith going to LA, and then Monday Night Football. Yours truly and Brett Ernst will be in.
Keith, I'm going to get little Sturch. I'm going to get little Sturch ice cream in a pennant.
You don't understand. I'm trying to
get you in the locker room.
Yeah, I already bought my VIP tour tickets for Tuesday morning.
He's little Sturch and hard.
Yeah, I do it every year. I just, you know, I like to be on the field and stuff. But usually, listen, every time I've gone to the new stadium and did the tour the morning after, that always came off a win. So let's see if they can get that.
All right, let's keep our fingers crossed. And if you're in Dallas,
yes,
I will be performing at the Dallas Comedy Club. It's a new club that opened up in Dallas. It's in the name. But I'll be there Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, so that's next Friday, next Saturday. But you'll hear from the Jersey Boys next week as we get you ready for Philly. But until then, for Dave Sturcio, Brett, and Keith Ernst, let's go Cowboys, get yourselves a dub, and we'll see you guys next week.